Turn with me to Matthew 3 again. We started in Matthew 3 last week. I want to do a little bit of review, but a little bit of just going where the Lord Jesus was ahead of us to go. Amen. Amen. So, as we're gathering here, it says right here, Matthew 3, verse 11. As for me, I baptize. This is John speaking. I baptize with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There's a place where God is already ordained. He's already calling you. There's a place where God has already set aside his best for you. But it comes when we begin to open up and make room in our heart for him to do something in us. Because it's in the process of making room that we give him a provision for what he's already wanting to do. It's a matter of us identifying with that which is the agent of change. Because see, John baptized in water, so he was baptizing and taking care of the things that were on the external. But when the Lord Jesus comes into your life, he's baptizing you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He's, in other words, he's baptizing you on something that's internal. Something that's internal, which is going to have a greater impact to your life than something that was external. When he begins to baptize you in the internal, it's going to make a shift and a change in your heart. It's going to make a shift and a change in how your life looks and how you reflect the glory of God. Because see, ultimately, he's looking for us to be a reflection of his glory. Ultimately, he's looking for us to be a reflection of who he is, to represent everywhere that we go. And see, that's part of what is happening in this day and hour. When we're talking about the white horse getting the run, we're talking about a day and time where God is releasing his people to release his glory. He's releasing his people to look like him, to act like him, to walk like him, to talk like him, and to be like him. But that means we, you know what? I don't look like him, act like him, talk like him just yet. I'm working. I'm working on it. Say he's working on it. Say thank God. Hallelujah. He's working on it. We're all working on it. We're a work in progress. But the same thing is God is already doing something in your life. And if you're just looking, if you look and focus on that. Because see, that's what he's doing in your life, where he's taking you. That's what has the power to set you free. When you begin to focus on his spirit, when you begin to focus on his glory, when you begin to focus on his person, now those are the things that will begin to remove the other issues from your heart. And that's the thing that we're seeing and experiencing in this what God has been doing and moving through us since the first of the year. I can tell you that when we first started, when the Lord just said, make room, and I released the story, the word that he gave me, when he said, make room for my fire, make room for my spirit, make room for my grace. When he began to say, make room, then I began to see that, you know what, sometimes that somewhere along in my Christianity, I'd kind of quit making room. So somewhere along in my walk, see, when I first born again, it was all about making room. Why? Because I wanted that stuff out. But somewhere along the line, he touched something that was a little personal, and I was like, So what we have to do is we have to make room. Because see, it's in that we find freedom. In that we find an abundance of love. In that we find an abundance of grace. Because grace is ready to operate on your behalf. Hallelujah. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. See, he's going to baptize you with something that brings you in to a heavenly experience. To a spirit. Because see, he's not looking to just change your soul. He's looking to awaken the spirit within you. That's why he's baptizing you in the Holy Spirit. He's immersing you in the Holy Spirit. When you're baptized, you're immersed. You're immersed until there's a change. You know the story about the pickle, right? Now, in order to make a pickle, you have to boil it. Okay? So you immerse it in the water and you boil it. But see, at that point in time, it's a cucumber. And if you take it out of there, when it cools off, it'll be a cucumber again. But when you immerse it in the agent of change, when you immerse it in vinegar, and the vinegar begins to soak in to this boiled pickle, and it gets absorbed into the boiled pickle, when it comes out, it can never be anything but a pickle again. And that's the way God is looking for our life. When He baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, He's quickened your spirit. He's quickened and made you alive with Him. And so in such a way that it changed, it stays in your life. We're not looking. Thank you. That was worth more than one amen, guys. Hallelujah. He wants to bring permanent change into your life. Because that's what He does. That's because His whole purpose, Holy Spirit's whole purpose is to come alongside you. His whole purpose, that's what it means. Paraclete means to come alongside. So Holy Spirit wants to come alongside you and guide you and walk with you, talk with you, and encourage you in the process. He's not going to leave you out there alone. You're never left behind. Hallelujah. You know, our soldiers have a habit and a desire to never leave someone behind in the line of battle. And in the same way, Holy Spirit is never going to leave you behind. He's always going to be right there with you. No matter what it is that you're going through, no matter what is happening, He's going to stay there until the job is done. Till freedom comes. Till restoration comes. Till healing comes. It doesn't matter what it is that it is you're dealing with. He's going to bring there and He's going to stay with you. Hallelujah. Fire is an agent of change. See, fire is an agent of transformation. And it's in the transformation of the fire that we begin to have the identity that He's created with us. When they carve a statue, I have great respect for those who carve statues out of stone. Oh my, or even out of wood. But I recently undertook a little project of just shaping some stone. And I'm doing it with tools, okay? With power tools. It takes a while. I can't imagine what those guys did when they're shaping it just one chip at a time. But see, what you do when you're building a statue is you're chipping away all that's not part of the statue. The same way in your Christian life. What you're doing, what's happening is God is slowly sometimes very quickly, just changing and removing everything that's not part of Him. It's what He does. Because why? Because then His glory is revealed. His purpose is revealed. His purpose is revealed. See, the fire is an agent of change. What fire does is it removes everything in that piece of wood that will burn. If there's a piece of burn, it's a DNA change that happens. There's no reason to give you the terminology, but there's a DNA change that happens in that piece of wood. Why? Because the heat is applying force. And when the heat is coming and it's applying force, then it releases the vapor. Everything that could be released as a gas is released, and everything that's remaining is just the ash. So He's talking about taking the weeds and putting it up in the barn. In other words, that weed is the things that are good, the things that are awesome, the things that He's already destined for you. But He's removing everything that was not part of Him. Sometimes He has to put His finger on something in our life. This is the chaff will go to the unquenchable fire. All that's good gets stored up in the barn. You're not losing anything. But everything, but the chaff has to go. The chaff has to be left behind. The chaff has to be falling off. Because see, sometimes that chaff is the very thing that's keeping you from getting where you're supposed to go. All of you have destiny. Some of you have more destiny than others. Why? Because God has put it in your heart to pursue it. It's not about where you're going. It's about the pursuit, the journey that He gives us and puts us in. Hallelujah. Because one might be called, your whole purpose might be to bring salvation to one individual. Some others in here, your whole purpose might be to preach in front of hundreds of thousands. It doesn't matter. Each one is just as important as the other. But it's, what's important is, do we pursue it? Do we recognize it? Will we let Him do it? Because He's looking to bring increase to every one of us. He's looking to bring every increase. It's not just happening at the pulpit. It's not just for Justin. It's for you. This fire, it comes to remove. It comes to remove. It comes to bring change. It comes to release that which is heavenly and leave off that which is ash. Sometimes we recognize the thing, you know what chaff really is? Chaff is that protective covering that was around a seed while it was maturing. It was the coating around the seed that protected it as it grew up and matured. So there was a moment in time where that chaff was actually a good thing. Why? Because it was necessary to protect that which was tender. It was necessary to protect something that was precious, but yet had not come to maturity yet. But in the same way, He's looking for us to recognize that the time for the chaff is over. The time for the chaff, because sometimes that chaff is something that looks like a defense mechanism. And that defense mechanism might have protected you at one point in time, but it's no longer valid in your life. It's no longer necessary for you to walk in your defenses. It's necessary for you to let Him to be your glory and your light and your defense, your rock and your strong tower. Because when we do that, then we can change can happen in our life. When we do that, it is yet evidence is made to the others around us, because we no longer have to protect ourselves, because it's God who's doing the protection. It allows us now to come out and be vulnerable before Him, to come out and be open before Him. Why? Because the seed, the husk, the hard part has already been shed off. As that comes and gets shed off, see, it brings change. It begins in a place where He can begin to show you who you really are. There's a change of identity that happens. There's a change of identity that is released when we shed off the chaff. I know I'm stealing Carlos's word, but identity is just the thing right now. Hallelujah. So, same. You can grin, Pastor. It's okay. It's okay. Hallelujah. But let me just show you something real quick about your identity, and then we'll come back, and I want to touch again on this chaff. So don't forget to let me touch again on the chaff, okay? So go with me to Genesis 1. I want to show you your identity, because I don't think you yet understand who God created you to be. I don't think you yet have seen what God has done for you. Genesis 1. He's going to show you your identity this morning. And anything that's not lining up with your identity, take the shotgun to it. Blow it up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Be careful where you take your shotgun. Hallelujah. Don't point it at your neighbor. Point it at the thing. All right. Hallelujah. That is, you know what? That is. Let me just meddle for a moment. You know, when you put a weapon in somebody's hand, it's important that they know what to do with it. Because if you use your weapon to just shoot your neighbor, there ain't no point to that. That doesn't bring healing to anybody. But if you use your weapon to shoot the object that needs to be destroyed, if you shoot the object that needs to be taken care of, if you shoot and release and break off the bondage, now you've got something that will actually make a difference in somebody's life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cha-ching. Glory. Glory. Verse 20 of Genesis 1. God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth in the open expanse. Verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind. Cattle and creeping things and the beasts of the air after their kind. And it was so. See, what he's doing here, he's describing the creation process. He's describing how he began to create and what we get. And what he's showing you is he created an environment for everything. He created an environment for each thing. So the environment of the water was for the fishes of the sea. The environment of the air was for the fowls of the air. The environment of the land was for the beasts to roam upon. And to all this was put into subjection, according to verse 27, subjection to man and his dominion. But see, there's something you need to know. There's something you need to know. Verse 26. Verse 26. This is your identity. This is your identity. This is where God comes from. He says, then God let us make, God said, let us make man in our image. In our likeness. Let him rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female, and he created them. And God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over everything that moves on the earth. That's your identity. The beasts of the field were created to roam the earth. But you weren't created to just roam the earth. You were created out of Him. Out of it was the dust of the ground, but it was also out of His breath. You'll look and see. He created you with His breath. It's the breath of God. The breath of God He breathed into man and said, man, and breathe him up and let him go and released him to have dominion. This is your identity. Your identity is in heaven. Your identity was never supposed to be limited to the earthly things. Your identity was never supposed to be limited to the things of the ocean or the things of the land or the things of the air. Your identity was one who has Christ in him, one who is in heaven equally and in earth at the same time, one who is both places in heaven and in the earth. Why? Because you have a physical body that's here, but he created you with a spirit that was there with him. That's why when he baptizes you with the Holy Spirit in fire, he's reawakening that thing that died when Adam sinned. He said, I got to reawaken in my people something that died because I got to bring a baptism upon them so that they'll be responding and know I've called them from heaven to walk in my heavens, to walk in the heavens. He's no longer, you know, we read, you know, in Luke 15, you can read how the Lord, well, let's turn over there real quick. I got a moment. Hallelujah. In Luke 15, you have the story of the prodigal. But before the story of the prodigal, you have the lost coin. You have the lost sheep. But we've been interpreting this from a limited perspective. We've been interpreting this from a limited place. We've been interpreting this as just the removing of sin from our life, but there's something more that he wants us to see. It's not just the removing of sin. It's not just that. He's wanting us to realize the joy that's set before us to walk into heaven. Verse 5. When he found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he comes home, he gathers together to his friends and neighbors, said, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I tell you in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Verse 10, over the same thing, over the lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there's joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. This joy, these verses are telling you of two things. They're telling you of the joy when we turn away from our sin and we begin to recognize and walk with God. But it's also telling you that you have a habitation. He's still trying to tell you, you have a habitation with Him. And we see the prodigal, when the prodigal comes out to the forefront, when the prodigal decides that he needs to turn away from his sin, and he comes back to the father, the father actually comes out running and meets him right where he's at. In the midst of his issues, the father comes and ministers to him and comes in and begins to clean him up and restore him and bring him and set him back into the place he was supposed to always have in his habitation with the father. Now, that older brother there was an old religious system. But what about if the older brother was Jesus instead? That would have changed the ending of that story. Because, see, the older brother would have been celebrating immediately upon his entrance. The older brother wouldn't have been part of the receiving crew when the prodigal showed up. The older brother would have been saying, hey, let me come in with you. See, Romans 8 tells us that Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. He's the firstborn of many brethren. He is your older brother. He was just out looking for you, just like the Father was. He was out looking for you, and He had a desire to bring you in. He had a desire to receive you. And guess what? They're receiving you in the same place. Because what did Matthew, the book, always continually says this. It says that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We have to shift our thought. We have to shift our thought and recognize, you know, when we begin to come and present ourselves before the Father, when we come to ascend with the Father, you don't have to be worried about ascending because you're coming into a place where you already belong. You're not some earthly invader who just happened to show up, like Jack and the Beanstalk. Remember what Jack and the Beanstalk, he climbed up until he got... Guess what? Guess what? When you show up, you're celebrated son. You're the celebrated son. When you show up, it's a reunion because this is where you're always supposed to be. And that's what he's been doing in me this last week. He's been showing me this reunion of what was always supposed to be. He's been showing me the reunion. Why? Because as I allow and I'm choosing to make room in my life, he's showing me the things that have kept me from being able to obtain. And one of the things that was keeping me out was still in the back of my mind somewhere. There was this little thought that maybe I don't belong there. Just a little thought. But it presents a major barrier. So I allowed him to process that because I allowed him to show me in this moment that he's the one he's drawing us to. He's drawing us in and he wants to rejoice with us. He wants to joy. And if you look in Jude 24 begins to declare how God, Jesus Christ brings you to the Father and there's rejoicing. There's rejoicing in the heavens, even as a rejoicing over the lost coin, even as a rejoicing over the lost sheep, when something is returned to its environment, its natural place, that's the natural place, there's rejoicing. He's rejoicing over all that will step in, all that will receive. So Lord, I just release healing today, Lord. I just release restoration today. I release, Father, strength. I thank you, Father, for the furtherance of hope, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So I told you I would bring you back to the place of the chaff. See, sometimes there's chaff in our life that we don't identify. There's chaff that's been in our life and it was so buried and so hidden that we don't see it for what it is. I was real open this morning. I'm going to be even a little bit more open now. See, my biggest issue in coming to the Father has always been my natural dad. Some people understand that naturally. It depends, see. In my life, there was lots of conflict because even though my dad did not do those things to the other children, he was very physically abusive to me. And I used my anger at him to justify my actions. And I held on to these things in my relationship with my dad because it justified my anger. And as long as I could justify my anger, then I could justify the things that I did out of my anger, the rebellion and the other things that came with that that didn't look very pretty for all you holy saints in here. Because I know none of you have ever done any of those things, and so I'm just so relieved for your sake. Hallelujah. But what I was doing was I was protecting something. Long ago, I learned to release the anger and I released the justifications, but I never understood there was a part of me that I was, the part of that that was still anchored in there, and I was protecting it. And it was presenting an obstacle. Because see, there came a day when I was 16 and my dad charged at me again, and I was not too awful long out of being in the hospital from the last time that he had charged at me, and he came at me and I just waited this time. And I'm not proud of what happened. But I waited. And when he got next to me, I grabbed him and I threw him over my hip and I threw him into the fireplace. And I looked and I knew at that moment something had changed between us. And the physical abuse stopped at that moment. But then I left because I was still afraid. All that anger was protecting the fear. Yesterday, as I worshiped the Lord, He touched me and He removed the fear. He removed the fear. He removed the thing that I didn't even know was there. I had never seen it and I never understood it. But He took that fear because even though in that moment I stopped the physical abuse, I didn't ever stop the fear. Today, we're going to open these altars and we're going to open the communion table. Whatever it is that God is putting His finger on in your life, whatever the chaff may be, for you that chaff may look entirely different. But it's time for it to get burned up. It's a moment for it to get burned up. We don't have to hide behind our fear. We don't have to hide behind our anger. We don't have to hide behind anything. My defense mechanism is not needed anymore. I don't have to be in denial. See, denial is not healing. Denial is just a lie. He wants to put His finger on it and deliver you today. He wants to put His finger on it and bring healing to you today. These testimonies are not just for one or two or three. They're for every one of us. Because why? Because He's building a fire in this place that transforms. He's building a fire in this place that brings healing. He's building a fire in this place that brings change. And that change is going to bring restoration in the house. And there's that restoration in the house is the release that happens because some people will call that revival. I just call it living with Him. And I thank You that He's allowing us to just do life with Him. And as we do life with Him, He's going to release us into a place that's better than anything we've had before. It's better than where we've been. Why? Because I can walk free. There's freedom. There's freedom. Proverbs 8 and 21 says that the earth is waiting for the freedom of the glory of the children of God to be seen. It's time for us to walk in that freedom. So as you come forward today, we're going to make an official end to the service. But as just play Abba, brother. As he plays Abba, I want you to just present yourself in the communion just before the Father. But I'll also be up here to pray for those who would like to be prayed for. Because see, even as Wednesday night, Justin released his word and there was things that were happening because there was a breakthrough that was happening in his life. And I participated and I let him pray for me. And I can tell you, I saw two fountains spring up as he began to release and pray over me. I saw two fountains to spring forth of three fountains of life that were springing forth. And in that moment, I thank you, thank the Lord that he's doing something in you and in Justin. But we participated in that moment as we did. I believe that's part of what released this other moment on Friday, on Saturday. No, they're all running together. I don't want to tell you wrong, but I just it's all running together. The reality is it happened. The reality is God's right here. You've felt his presence. You felt his love. He's not going to do anything to you that's not out of love. He's not going to touch you in any way that doesn't bring increase. So as we partake, know that you're partaking of increase. Know as you shed off the chaff, you're partaking of increase. Hallelujah.